breathe and I feel relaxed and I'm ready to party!
Welcome to the weekend with those two girls.
Here we go.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Saturday, Brizzy. How are we all?
Good, thank you, Lise. I'll answer on behalf of the entirety of Brisbane. Hey, big news for Queensland this week. Hey.
What's that?
Well, we're getting the Logies for the next 4 years. Yes. I'm pretty excited. We've got a lot of talent up here, and I might throw you into the mix, Lise, because little birdie told me, and by little birdie, I mean you, said that during the week you were at Bunnings. I was covered in mulch and blood and bone and what have you, and you got recognised, didn't you?
I was at Bunnings Stafford wearing head-to-toe gardening gear with my sunnies on and a lovely lady who works there, and I didn't catch her name, but I made her listen today. She said to me, "Are you famous?" And I died a little inside, which is code for jumped with joy.
Did you claim it?
No, I was a bit embarrassed, but my mum did, and my mum, Nicole, is French, and she had the Prouds. So she said, "Yes, she's on the radio." And I was like, "Shut up, Mum." "Yes, I am on the radio. Hit 105, 7 till 9, Saturdays." It was a nice feeling, Sarah. Are we going to get invited to the Logies?
I hope so. I want to get into some green room action, do some interviews. Just got to put it out there. Can't sell a secret. I tell you what, speaking of secrets, we're playing Game of Suburbs up next on 131060, and we've got
a $500
voucher to Secrets.
131060 if you want to play. Do you guys want to hear the really, really good news today? We're going old school all weekend.
Yes! And sing it now!
Daryl, sing it to me. We can fly. We can fly.
Those two girls on Hit 105.
Game of Suburbs.
Alrighty. Game of Suburbs, Sarah. Oh my gosh, I nearly just read out the name of the suburb.
Oh my gosh, get it together. Game of Suburbs is, of course, where we celebrate the burbs of Brisbane. There are about 185, I think. Lise and I choose one. You get to call in. We give you one clue per caller. You get about 3 seconds and then zzz, you're gone.
We're ruthless, guys. So just throw us a guess if you're not sure. Let's get straight into it with Matt from Callum Vale, Australia. Well, it says Callum Vale, Australia. Hey,
as
Matt.
As opposed to Callum Vale in Canada, eh?
All right, Matt, are you ready for your first clue?
Yes, I am.
All right. You can go to the bank, but you can't make a withdrawal.
Am I supposed to name the suburb?
Yep.
Brisbane? I don't know.
Close.
No.
It's definitely in this city.
In Brisbane. Yep. Okay.
Kayla from Brighton. Hi.
Hi. How you going?
Good, good. So, Kayla, your clue is the food here is so yum. Char.
Cherm
side? No.
Not Cherm side.
I mean, you know, Kyla is from the north side.
Yes.
Brighton's in the north side, so she's still stuck in the northern suburbs.
All right. Shana from Tagum. Good morning.
Morning, girls.
Hey, Shana. Good, thank you. Okay. Shana, there's a plaza, but no hills here.
I'm going to say Sunnybank.
Oh, she's good.
Oh, Shana.
Shana, our next clue was going to be it's not Cloudy Bank, it's Sunnybank. You got it. You got it.
Oh,
you got
great.
It.
Thank you.
Hey, Shana, you have scored yourself a $500 Secrets voucher. Now, this is to celebrate the opening of their Chermside store. It's actually a reopening, Sarah.
Yeah.
And so it's on today from 9 to 5.
Everyone's invited, 9 to 5. I think there's hourly giveaways, in-store stylists, there's even sparkling wine, hello, and some refreshments.
Yes,
so,
get down there, guys.
Shana,
it's going to be great.
Take your voucher and go.
Thanks, ladies. That's awesome.
That
thank you.
Is awesome.
Pleasure,
bling
treasure.
It up.
We'll be playing again next week.
Those two girls on Hit 105.
You are beautiful.
You Beauty, those two girls, and Brooklyn Beauty Bar get you summer ready with the best beauty tips in the biz.
Brookie, everybody knows that the only safe tan is a fake tan. Mm-hmm. But I have a problem with the fact that sometimes it just doesn't blend on me, like on my knees, on my elbows. What do I need to look for?
You need to look for, A, do they have the old Sorbolane cream out there in the actual tan room? Also a blender brush. You want a Sorbolane cream, areas that you tend to be a bit dehydrated. A lot of women tend to get a bit dehydrated on the forearms, the shins, the knees, the ankles and the elbows. So you want to make sure you do a good barrier cream that's water-based. Water-based creams, the actual tan will just go through. So not to worry with that. Just make sure it's blended in really well. The other thing you need to look out for is a really good blending brush. Now, if your tan therapist has this and is using this, that's great.
Okay, so you're saying that they spray you and now they brush you?
Yes.
Like a horse?
Like a horse.
Excellent. I like it. I've never been brushed like a horse before. I'm looking forward to it this summer.
Just in the nooks
whatever
and crannies.
Whatever floats your horse float boat. Now, Brookie, I'm very pale. I've actually given up on fake tanning. That's how disillusioned I am because I'm just like, I need to embrace being a gecko. But if I change my mind this summer, what should I be asking for?
I would ask for a violet-based tan.
Violet?
Yes.
I've heard of green.
And I would actually ask for a 1 to 3 hour and I would wash it off after an hour and a half with you.
So that's for women with pale skin like Sarah. She's like a lens flare sometimes. Remember those glowworms?
Oh, I wanted one as a kid. I actually was one, it seems.
Yes. Okay, so if you're pale, you go violet. What do green bases do?
So green base is more for olive complexions like yourself.
Okay.
And that tends to change a different colour compared to the violet. So your violet's more of an ashy. Your green base is more of an olive tone it tends to go towards.
You know what? It's a bit like your blonde hair, Liz. You know how you've got to use your purple shampoo to tone it? This is the toner in fake tan.
Yes. Okay. Now, what about the men in our lives? Is there such thing as a man tan?
There is. We look after gentlemen all the time. They love it.
There you go.
I'm
going to
take my husband.
Can you spray on abs? I'm asking for a friend.
But can do.
I'm not talking about
tan. I thought you were.
My husband's on a diet.
Those two girls on Hit 105.
Liz, wrap your head around this. Rocky this week, beef capital of Queensland, Rockhampton. I'm a font of regional knowledge. The biggest baby has been born there, smashed a record, little Maisie McDonald. Have a guess at what she was born at. Like, what's a heavy baby weight to you?
I had a big baby. I had a 4 kilo baby, so I'm going to go chunkier than that. Like, what, 5 keg?
Let's take it up another one. 6 kilos. In old school, which is actually the only way I can figure out baby weights, is 13 pounds. 4 ounces.
I am doing my pelvic floor exercises as I think about this story.
Imagine. That's actually what I was hoping my baby would weigh. I remember when my girl was born. Well, I was, because I put on 25 kilos myself. So when they weighed her, I was like, how much does she weigh? Thinking, I'm going to smash a record here. And they were like, just 7 pounds.
They were like, no, Sarah.
Can you weigh my placenta?
No, that's all the caramello koalas you ate.
That was it. But 6 kilos, my goodness.
That is massive.
And I've got a little photo of it. She's just the most beautiful little munchkin. No, but she's got such little fat cheeks.
She's beautiful. She is gorgeous. It's a beautiful, healthy baby.
Yep.
I hope that mother had a C-section. Moving on. I like this song.
Those two girls.
Me too. Yes.
And Hit 105.
Those two girls on Hit 105.
Good morning. You got those two girls, Liz and Sarah. Sometimes when you make a mistake, it's better to come clean than just let anyone throw you under the bus. So you reckon I started Genuine's pony before you actually got to the story you wanted to tell.
And I was talking with my eyes to you and then the song was off. But Liz told me off.
Let's do it again.
I don't want to ride anyone's pony. I just wanted to finish telling this.
I'm surprised, Sarah. You strike me as someone.
Just stop.
Okay,
I was talking about the biggest baby that was born in Rocky during the week. Weighed a whopping 13 pounds, 6 kilos. And Liz countered with a little story of her own.
Yes, well, my great uncle. In fact, I believe he was my grandpa's cousin, so I don't really know what that makes him
so,
to me.
Great. The family connection's getting looser while we're on air.
No.
Brilliant.
So
I think he was
born
a neighbour.
Shosh, Sarah, I think he was born around like the 1930s, 1940s. He's passed away now. He was born at 26 weeks.
Oh, gosh.
So you can
imagine.
When
in the 1930s?
Like in the 30s or something.
Yeah.
He was born at 26 weeks, and back in the day, he was actually discarded. Like he was born, yeah, and they just went, this baby will never survive. They didn't have humidity cribs. They didn't have NICU back in those days. And this is in New Caledonia, like, you know, a tropical island where I was born.
Because you're...
Also.
Because
I'm French. Anyway, and the nurse who attended his birth, Sarah, actually took him out of, like, where they discarded him.
Yeah.
And she said to herself, I can make this baby live. And she put him in a shoebox with cotton wool and nursed him back to, like, kind of back to life. I don't know if he hadn't passed.
Yeah.
But she kept him alive and he lived until he was 89.
But then did she give him back to his parents?
Yes.
She said to the mother, don't listen to them, he'll be all right?
I think so. I don't
know.
That
is amazing.
Now the pressure on this story is immense. Can we play Pony again? Because I don't know what
happens
next.
That is a phenomenal story.
It is
such a great story.
And, you know, he was a little man.
Yes.
But full of health.
You said he died at like 87
89.
Or something.
Yes, wow. Lived a full life. There you go. What are we playing now, Scotty?
Bye.
Oh, yes. Wow. I love this old school all day.
I think we know what we need to do here.
Is that what it's called? Old school all day.
100% old school.
Bye.
Those two girls on Hit 105.
Yesterday, I was up at the barracks in Petrie Terrace waiting for you, Sarah. Mm. And I was out the front of the Coles there just, you know, lurking, loitering. And a young man who was, I guess, working for a charity approached me. He had all the accreditation around his neck and all legit. And he was legit and he worked for a charity. And, you know, it's so hard, Sarah. Immediately I said, oh, look, I'm just on my way to work. And he said, look, do you just have a couple of minutes? You all know how this goes. Five minutes later. And I guess what ended up happening is I'm now donating $30 a month. And I gave this fellow my card number. He also took a selfie with me at some point.
What?
I don't really know how that happened. I think he was just happy that he took my money.
Let me just unpack that. So you gave him all your information, so I'm guessing
it was all legit. He had an iPad. He had the accreditation. He showed me all the documentation. And the thing that gets Sarah.
And he took a photo.
Yes, that bit
with
was weird.
You.
Yeah. You think it's identity theft? You think he's going to, like, steal my identity?
Yes, I do. Well, because that is highly unusual.
I don't know.
Like, are you Liz Homoladio, like your mum said, nothing? He just wanted a photo with you.
It had nothing to do with that. I think he was just happy that he'd, like, made a sale. But the thing that gets me is that he had brilliant information about the people that this charity helps out, which is malnutrition children in third world countries. And Sarah, it went as far as him showing me with a measuring tape how thin these poor little kids' upper arms are when they're on the brink of death from starvation.
I was
on the verge of tears because it's hard. Like, he even said to me, do you have children? Yes, I do. They're 8 and 4. Showed me the diameter of those children's upper arms as well. And then I said to him, look, I said, I love the work that you guys do. However, my husband and I have an agreement that neither one of us will commit to monthly debits to charities until we've checked in with one another.
Mm.
And he said, yeah, but, like, you know, so you're telling me that if you go home today and tell your husband that you'll be saving 35 children's lives by doing this, you're telling me that he'll be mad at you? Oh. And
that annoys me because
so
you've
hard.
Put up, like, a barrier.
I mean, I chatted with him. I didn't, you know, I was, you know, we had it. It's just hard. I know there's people out there that are in my position, have been in my position. I can't ignore these people because I respect the work that they're doing. I know they're being paid. I'm not an idiot. I realise that. But I feel that you still need people in this world who are prepared to do that sort of work. It's hard. But now
that kind of stuff operates on guilt trips. And that's what it is. So you're going into Coles to feed yourself in your Pilates gear and then they plonk them. I mean, I got done into. I'm giving like $50 a month to a foundation for chemo treatment. Like because, you know, everyone knows somebody who's gone through cancer and the chemo drugs and you feel you know, you feel good about helping, but at the same time, like, it's so quick and you've handed over all your details to somebody who doesn't actually work for the charity.
I mean, I just don't know how to get out of those situations. Is there a legal thing with, like, I don't know, you were saying about age or something?
Yes, I think so. I think someone said to me, just tell them you're under 18 and they can't touch you. So I don't know if that would...
That's not going to work.
Those two girls on Hit 105.
Hey, guys. Now, those of you listening last week, which is millions of you, you will be aware of the fact that Sarah and I have started a Pay It Forward movement. Now, we started it as a coffee chain. We went to a little hole-in-the-wall cafe in Paddington on Given Terrace where we bought ourselves a coffee, and then we bought a third coffee that we said to the baristas, give it to the next person.
And then they choose to pay it forward. So they accept the free coffee metaphorically and pay it forward to somebody else. So they still hand over $5. Now, it seems, thanks to my dad, this plan is flawed.
Well, can I just say, though, that that coffee chain, Sarah, in Paddington did go for a full 24 hours.
Well, it was broken at the second person.
But then it went on.
Could have been my dad. But then we stumped up again and it went on. Don't know if it's still going.
So what problem does your dad have
with
this?
So dad rang me last week and said, what are you two talking about with this Pay It Forward coffee chain? I want to know which is the coffee shop so I can get the one free coffee that is actually in circulation. And I was explaining it to Dad and he was saying, no, so you don't get anything for free. You've got to pass it on.
But you don't
and I said,
have
well, you
to.
Do. Like, if you're a kind person, you pass it on. And Dad was like, I'm not kind. I want the free
because
coffee.
Because the thing is, there's two separate transactions here. You do get a coffee for free.
Technically.
You're receiving a coffee for free. But then if you choose to pay it forward, then you're springing for another coffee for somebody else. But what we love about this Pay It Forward movement is the sense of community that it creates, because you get to talk to your barista, you talk to the people, everybody's happy. I just think it can also extend outside of coffee, Sarah.
So I think let's try and actually, you know, get something happening where people do get something for free in their hand. We've got somebody that we can chat to about this. Jim, how have you paid it forward?
I've been buying an extra piece of chicken at KFC and leaving it for the next person.
Oh, my God, you are possibly the best human ever.
So, like, just through the drive-through. I love a drive-through story. Yeah. You're just like, next piece of chook's on me.
Yeah.
Just the one piece of chicken, not even just the hot chips, just one piece of chicken.
Hey, one piece of chicken. I think it's like $1.90 or something.
So, Jim, it's not quite the Pay It Forward coffee chain, but it's the Pay It Forward chicken chain. We'll take it.
Yeah.
And where? Which KFC is this? Where are you?
Rana Hills.
Arana Hills KFC.
I feel like there's going to be a run on Arana Hills with everyone trying to get a free drumstick thanks to Jimbo. You keep being you, Jim. Don't ever change.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Jim.
All right, Brizzy. So, inspired by Jim, we want to get some more inspo from you. 131060, when have you paid it forward? Have you done this? When have you done it? What did you do?
How have you done it? Are we on to something?
Yes.
Those two girls on Hit 105.
Guys, on 131060, we're asking you, what have you paid it forward for? What have you bought somebody for free, done something for free? We're looking for some inspo. Daniel from Fernvale. Hello.
Hello.
How have you paid it forward, Daniel?
We do it when we go through drive-through at McDonald's for breakfast. We buy hotcakes for the next person.
Oh, yes. And so, is this like a weekly occurrence, Daniel?
Well, just when I go there.
And what do you have? You ever sort of hung back to find out people's reactions, like the receiver's reactions?
No, only if they were good looking.
Wow, you're a real philanthropist.
So hotcakes for hotties, really. That's Daniel. Hey, I'll just wait till Scotty contains himself. Just take your time. Hey, Alicia from North Lakes, what have you paid forward?
Hey, guys.
Hey.
So I just always, like, my car fills up and only fills up with $40 worth of fuel because I only have a small car. So every time I hand them a $50 note and just say, put it on the next person.
Oh, Alicia, where are you from?
North Lake.
And which servo do you go to?
The Shell just near what's it near? The Mango Hill.
Yes.
Is that near you, Lise?
I'll drive there after work today, Sarah. That is so generous, Alicia.
That is lovely.
Do the people at the counter, so when you explain what you're wanting to do, what do they say?
Well, I always fill it up on a Saturday, so it's always the same lady there. So she kind of understands now what I'm doing each time and tries to offer me like, oh, do you not just want an extra Mars bar or something?
Oh, wow. Okay,
don't even take the Mars bar. Yeah, we've got so many people have called through. Like James from Albany Creek's called through saying that he does the same with paying for someone's fuel.
That's huge.
That's really, really nice. That is better than paying it forward a coffee, I think.
But I think it can start simply, Sarah. Like not everyone will have that extra $10 or $20. So a coffee is plenty. You know, I even considered just like paying it forward like a Caramello Koala for you because you love them so much.
Oh, gee, I'd accept.
Like, you know, it could be that little, even Tic Tacs.
Sure. Or the same thing groceries. If you've still got $10 on your weekly budget or something, pay it forward to the next person's groceries.
I like it. I like it.
We're in. We're hooked, Brizzy.
Those two girls on Hit 105. Here we go.
Hey, Brizzy, happy Saturday. You're with Lise and Sarah, those two girls. I've got a story to tell you, Lise.
Okay, hit me with it.
So during the week, I was brushing my eldest daughter's hair. She's 6 and a half and, you know, it's normally a trying time. There are lots of knots and detangler spray used. Anyway, I was brushing, snagged it on a knot, and she looked at me with this filthy look on her face and said, "Mum, I was nearly going to say that F word that you say sometimes."
Oh, gosh.
And I said, "What? Like, what a... What are you talking about?" I mean,
full disclosure,
I don't swear in front of my kids. No way. And then she's like, "You know what it is, Mum?" And she's shaking her little finger at me. And I said, "Well, what is it?" And she said, "It starts with, ends in k."
Oh, gosh.
And I was like, "What on earth? How? What? What?" And I was like, "Come on, what is it?" And she's like, "You know, I don't want to say it, but I will. For God's sake." How cute is that?
Oh,
so there
God.
You go. I must say it an awful lot, do
you
I?
You do say it. I do hear you say it a lot.
Right. That's my pressure cooker phrase. Hey, we're talking with a bird expert up next. Magpie season.
Those two girls on Hit 105.
Professor Darryl Jones is a behavioural ecologist at Queensland Museum, and he's really fascinated about birds in urban areas. Now, I just don't think you can call yourself a Queenslander unless you've grown up being able to ride your bike one-handed with one arm madly flapping above your head getting rid of a swooping magpie.
I've done that many times, Sarah.
Have
many
you,
times.
Professor Darryl?
Couldn't agree more, absolutely. And it's not just Queensland, it's the whole of Australia, basically. So, yeah, absolutely, an essential part of growing up here.
Okay, so Professor Daz, I'm just going to go in nice and familiar with you. Now, I want to get into magpie myth-busting.
Right.
Because there's a few things that we're unsure of. First of all, tell us once and for all, what is the nesting season for this year?
It's typically end of August through September into October is 90% of the magpies will be nesting then. It can be shorter and longer depending on what the weather's up to, but it's around about then all the time.
All right. Now, I start to get a bit twitchy at this time of year when I see huge gum trees. Mm-hmm. I'm on my magpie nest spotting. And I tell you what, if I had one pair of eyes drawn on my hats and helmets growing up, I had 1,000. Professor Darryl, do eyes on helmets and hats work as a deterrent?
Absolutely don't. No.
No, what?
No, there's not the shred of evidence that they ever work. Pretty much those eyes don't look like eyes. You know, they're two round dots or something worse. And I don't think any magpie's ever going to be fooled by that.
What about zip ties?
Yes, well, they can work, but they only work on cyclists, and you have to have a ridiculous number of them. So unless you look absolutely ridiculous, they don't work. So,
like a hedgehog, you know, riding a bike.
Like a hedgehog. And that's pretty much how it works, because they don't stop swooping, but they do back off and they never go near it because it looks bloody dangerous. I mean, really spiky and nasty, and you wouldn't want to go too close to it.
Do all magpies swoop?
Absolutely not. No, so thank goodness it's only about 10% of every magpie pair. So magpies always live in pairs, strict pairs, male and mum and dad.
I did not know that.
And they never leave. Once they settle down and have a patch, they literally never leave that patch.
Can I ask you, is there any truth in the theory that if you befriend a magpie before nesting season, that they might give you a bit of grace?
It works in very specific situations. So I've already mentioned that magpies live in a small patch.
Yes.
You know, that means round about 20 to 30 houses. And so what those magpies do, who never leave, they know every single individual person in that patch.
Wow.
And so they know you. They see kids growing up. They remember them, what they were when they were little kids. And when they do, absolutely. They remember. We've done research, you know, done experiments to show that they can remember us by our faces. But wait, only the people that they live with. So this doesn't work down at the very busy park or the supermarket, you know, shopping centre or schoolyard where there are a million people all who look pretty much the same. The magpies, which get all the publicity and you hear about all the time, are the ones which are attacking everybody. Those magpies which know us individually, the ones that do attack, and there's only a small number of them do, they only attack the same people each time. Might be one or two people in their little patch. Back to the original question. To befriend one, and what that really means is give them some food,
yes,
basically.
Yeah.
That only works for the magpies that know you individually. You can't do it down in the park, down below. You know, it just doesn't work that way.
Yeah, I've got a couple that really happily poop on my deck, and I just let them do that now because we're mates.
In the hope that she won't get her eyes pecked out. Yeah.
A lot of people thought that as soon as spring comes around, every magpie's out to kill us, you know.
Yeah.
If that was the case, I don't think we could live in this country.
No, we're like Tippi Hedren in The Birds. Look, they're just doing their thing.
Yeah. We will be checking in with you, Professor Darrell. That was absolutely brilliant.
Yeah.
Okay.
And to all the magpies out there, be kind.
I'd love to talk to you about plovers one time next too, Professor Jones.
Any time you like, girls.
Those Two Girls on Hit 105. Thanks to Best Wilson Buckley Family Law. bwbfamilylaw.com.au.
You got into Harvard Law?
What, like it's hard?
It's Lisa and Sarah's Legal Eagle.
Legal Eagle, Amity Anderson. I've heard that some couples have such severe disagreements over which school their kids should attend that they take it to the courts. Is this true?
This is absolutely true. The issue of schooling is what we call a major long-term decision, and both parents have equal say about what school. At the time of a separation and following a separation, they've got to go to mediation, and if they still don't agree, a judge is your only option.
Wow. So are we talking, Amity, one parent wants state, the other wants private, or are we like, no, he's going to grammar. No, he's going to churchy. Is it like, what do you mostly see?
Look, mix of both, but it's the same issue, whether it's state versus private or Catholic versus state or, you know, grammar versus terrace, whatever the issue, it's one of those big decisions that they both have equal say about.
But Amity, is this only between couples that are separating or divorced, or can this exist in a couple that is still happily married?
Oh, I'm absolutely certain it could exist in a very stable, happy relationship. But I mean, I suppose we don't see it that often, because why would you spend all that money and waste all that time? Whereas when you're together, I think couples just sort of figure it out, don't they?
Yes. I mean, I can't imagine taking Wills to court because he doesn't agree with my school choice.
It'd
for the
be
girls.
A bit of fun.
It would be fun. Be good content.
It'd be fun to read your material about it.
Those Two Girls on Hit 105.
My eyeballs hurt watching you dance just then.
That just took me straight back to grade 8 disco. Still got those moves.
You've got those moves.
Oh, I needed my puffer at the end of that. Hey, speaking of shaking the room, can we talk about shaking sheets?
Oh, it's sounding a bit saucy.
Well,
do tell.
Trust me, it's not. It's filthy. I read an article online that said people aren't changing their sheets anywhere near as much as they should be.
Well, I tell you, if you turn to Instagram, there's annoying people everywhere, like posting stuff like clean sheets Sunday, making me feel completely inadequate. It's annoying. I don't care.
Well, how?
I don't care.
Because people, they're like, do that every week. I don't change
do
my
they,
sheets
though?
Every week.
This is the thing, right? This is the thing that I think. I think people say, I change my sheets every week, but they don't. They're lying.
Yeah, I'm on like a fortnightly rotation, which I think is reasonable.
I think I'm weekly for the kids' sheets, but longer for Dane and my sheets.
Right.
Which I don't know. There's no logic in that,
no,
really.
No, but look, but I found out some facts. Now, they're Google facts. So
here we go. Is this Nerdy McNerd?
Apparently. Because no one's letting me have that segment anymore. Apparently, we shed 30,000 to 40,000 skin cells every hour.
Yeah, but skin cells are teeny tiny, and they're my skin cells, and my husband's skin cells. So I like them.
And they're loving each other, being dead off your body. Okay, well, get this. Apparently, every year you sweat 26 gallons while you're in bed. I got a converter. That's 98 litres of sweat a year in your bed. That does feel rank, doesn't it?
Okay, so let's just do this. 13, 10, 60, guys. How often do you change your bed sheets? Give us a call. No judgment, maybe a little. How often do you change your bed sheets? Taking your calls after this. I can't hear myself, Scotty.
That's a good thing.
Off-air conversations, guys.
Those two girls on Hit 105.
Guys, how often do you change your bed sheets? That's what we've asked you on 13, 10, 60. We got the phones.
Yeah, I've got
lit
some gross,
up like Christmas.
Gross facts for those of you just tuning in. Like, we shed 30 to 40,000 skin cells every hour, and apparently we sweat 98 litres in bed every year. We spend a third of our lives there.
I just go by the fact that people will say that they change their sheets weekly.
Every week.
And they're lying. It's longer than that. Let's test that theory. Evie from Underwood, how often do you change your bed sheets?
All right, so it's not actually me. It's my partner and my brother. It's not a lie. So my partner probably changes them once or twice a week, and I'm not allowed to get in unless I have a shower. And
what?
I know. Like every night, makes me have a shower first. Like,
are you
just psycho?
My brother's
worse.
Psycho?
He's a psycho.
Psycho. And my brother's even worse. Like, he changes his bed sheets when he was here. He's now in the Navy. But, like, three times he was washing them a week.
Three times a week.
And it's just him. Like, just him sleeping in his bed. No one else.
I mean,
wow. Maybe he's seen these internet facts as well. Hey, Marianne from Redland Bay, how often do you change your sheets?
Look, I don't actually have a time routine around this. It's one area that I allow myself a little bit of leeway.
Mm.
I go by the smell and the feel factor.
You're a grub, Marianne.
So wait, what's the factor? Like, when do you know it's time to put them in the machine?
Look, it's got to be noticeable to me. I've got to notice there's a smell, and I think it largely goes by what happens in the bed.
See, this is,
right.
Sarah, this is an honest woman. Marianne, you are honest. Because you could have just taken the hot, you could have just been so smug about this and said, girls, you're filthy, it has to be once a week, when really, you're just being honest.
Yeah, I'm operating on a fortnight.
You're fortnightly, yeah. I reckon. That's fair.
Yeah,
okay.
I'd say every, 10 to 14 days I do the big wash.
All right, Jack from Ormo.
Hello.
Hi. How often do you change your bed sheets?
I do it once a week, but that's because I used to work for Kirby Vacuum Cleaners, and I've seen how much gunk comes out of a bed when you vacuum it with these machines.
But that's also coming out of the mattress, isn't it, Jack?
No, it's actually the skin cells. I've got all the facts and everything. The amount.
Really? Sarah's dry reaching.
It's a thick grey powder because your sweat and your skin mixed together.
It sounds
okay. So you
great.
Are once a week now, thanks to your previous job. Interesting, Derek from Ipswich. How often do you
there
change
you
your bed sheets, Derek?
Oh, how are you going? Yeah, it's Derek here. I probably change mine about once every 6 months.
That's not that often, Derek.
Yeah, but that all depends. If I pick up a bird down the pub and she's a bit rugged, I might change them after that.
Okay.
A rugged bird. Well,
what a catch. What a marvellous catch Derek is.
Those two girls on Hit 105.
I'm angry.
Lisa and Sarah's.
I have never been this angry in my entire life.
Triggered.
Hey, guys, 13, 10, 60. This is the time in the show where we offer a safe place for our listeners to offload the little things that really irritate you throughout the week.
Mm-hmm. Like, did you put your hand under the tap and it splashed back water all over your pants?
Oh,
like, those little things.
You know when you wash a spoon?
Yes.
And then you're, like, showered.
Oh,
it's like the equivalent
like a sprinkler.
Of having a shower.
What's triggered you, Lise?
Well, the other day I was just in a bit of a traffic jam, and the lady beside me was in a very old, like, you know, like a 1994 Honda, like just, you know, a nondescript old bomb.
Well, you knew the year and everything.
Well, I think so.
You've been on car sales.
And she was wearing driving gloves. Triggered. I mean, that's unnecessary to me.
Is it? Well, but she might have been doing it to stop sunspots. Like, I've actually thought about getting driving gloves.
Oh, of course you have. No, I just think unless you're driving like a Rolls Royce Silver Ghost, is that what they're called? You know those Rolls Royce, those really fancy ones?
But Scotty doesn't know. She has been on car sales. Well, I was triggered this week. I was making the school and kindy lunches, and as I put the butter on the bread, it put a hole in the bread.
Oh,
triggered.
That irritates me, something fierce. So, guys, 30 and 1060, what has triggered you? And I'll tell you what, the best one is going to win a booth for eight people to the awesome Limbo Unhinged at Brisbane Festival.
We went last night. It is mad good.
Amazing. The best things in life are free. Let's hear what Janet says. We're going to give you this free booth. Best triggered.
Those two girls on Hit 105. Triggered.
All right, guys, we have been asking for all those little annoying bits and bobs that make up your day. Can you stop spraying Glen 20?
I'm triggered by something in this. It's something is off in this studio.
There's nothing off. It's you that's off. We're going to the callers. Oh, gosh. Kaylee from Forest Lake, what has triggered you?
So you spend like $5 because sometimes they're overpriced. You're really amped up to have a really nice chicken avocado sandwich. You cut an avocado and it's yuck.
Oh, God.
Yes. Absolutely.
I don't know what's worth when it's too brown or when it's just too hard.
There's just like a 1 minute window of opportunity with avocados. Like, honestly, yeah. Kaylee, I'm feeling you. Tim from Greenbank, what's triggered you?
Mate, what triggers me is when you do your mowing and you do the neighbourly thing and you've got that fine line between your house and the next door neighbour's house. There's that real fine barrier and you do the courtesy thing by mowing that strip. And then when it comes to their turn to mow that strip, they don't want to know you.
Tim,
it hurts, doesn't it?
I would love to be your neighbour, and I tell you, I would return that favour.
That's because Lee's lives on about 2 acres, so... So, Tim, you don't want to be Lee's neighbour. Hey, Hannah from Clayfield, what's triggered you?
Hi, guys. Oh, my goodness. Going to Woolies and collecting those little Earn and Learn stickers.
Yes.
I don't want to collect the stickers for kindy, but check out tips. Don't make me ask for them. Just give me my bloody stickers.
I know you've got to get your receipt out. Hi there. Excuse me, I've earned 4 Earn and Learn stickers.
You know what gets me, Hannah, is that I clearly look like a mother. I look tired. I'm wearing yoga gear. Give me the stickers. I have children. Okay, let's go to Brielle from Gumdale. What's triggered you?
Look, morning, guys. Look, you know what's really annoying for me? When you go to fill up your car and you just miss that dollar value, so it goes to like
$20.02.
Oh, triggered.
Yes.
Yeah.
I remember that ad with Seinfeld in it years ago when he was like, perfect pump. And it's like, you know when it's at the 96 and then you're just like, little bit.
Why do we insist on doing that these days now? Because there's no, you're not paying
no,
two
you think
cents.
It's a like skill.
It's a skill.
I hear all you, right. Brielle. Well, look, we have got, for the best triggered, we've got a booth for 8 people to the amazing Limbo Unhinged at Brisbane Festival, which is, of course, on for 22 days. It's absolutely wonderful. Transforming the City, September 9 to 30. And you can book yourself at brisbanefestival.com.au. Lise and I went to Limbo last night.
If you're going to do something in September, take yourselves to this show. It's brilliant. Who's going to win it, Sarah?
I tell you what, well, the human body is capable of amazing things, and I think mowing your neighbour's lawn is pretty amazing. So, Tim from Green Bank.
You've got yourself a booth for 8 you and 7 friends, essentially, to unhinge. You're going to love it.
Thank you very much.
I'm telling you, there's sword swallowing, there's fire breathing, there's acrobatic work.
It's such a good night. Now, Tim, as we wrap up the show, and because we have you on the phone and we've just given you an awesome prize, what did you think of today's show out of 10?
Mate, awesome. 10 out of 10. I won something, mate. Can't get any better than that.
Tim may be slightly biased, but we will. We'll accept his 10 out of 10 perfect score. We're like Nadia Comaneci.
She was a gymnast, for those who don't know, who aren't as old as Sarah.
Well, Lise and I, we're not escaping from each other today
either. What are we doing?
We're going to the movies to see Captain Underpants with the kidlets this afternoon, aren't we?
So cultured.
So cultured.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for hanging around. We had a blast.
We'll see you next week. Well, we won't. You'll hear us
next week. Bye, guys.
Those two girls on Hit 105.